The Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and he stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your hand here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. So, happy Easter. In this Mass, I'm going to be praying for all of you, and I'm going to place all of you on the altar, and this is my prayer, that this will be the happiest day in your life. And God will hear me, because Jesus said, "Ask and you receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open." So recognize this is going to be the happiest day in your life because I've asked the Lord, I've placed it on the altar, and the Lord will hear me. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and joy, rejoice in it. There's so much that can be said on this Feast of Divine Mercy. But I'd like to just pull out a couple of biblical verses and personalities that experience the infinite mercy of Christ. And then I'd like to try to apply this to our own lives. The first, and this is a tearjerker for me. If you've ever seen the film of Gibson, or if you just meditate upon it, this is a tearjerker. Jesus on the cross. There's a thief on his right and his left. They've lived bad lives. Thief, it was probably a thief, a murderer, and an insurrectionist. What does that mean? Started wars. So he was a tough guy. I think that the The cholos of Compton, East LA, and the gardens would be afraid of this guy. I think so. This guy was tough. He was tough. And at first he attacks Jesus with the other. And that's a detail in the Gospels that we can skip over. They first start to attack Jesus. But the grace of God, of His mercy, arrives at this thief. And then He rebukes the other one, saying, hey, we're here because we deserve it. But this man has done no evil. Then he says these heartwarming, these enthralling words that can warm the hardest of hearts. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Okay, do any of you remember the words of Jesus? What Jesus said to him? Wow, you're not Protestants, man. Okay. Jesus said, amen, amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And as Fulton Sheen says, and he, the good thief, died a thief because he stole heaven. Amen? He died a thief because he stole heaven. So there's one of the most beautiful manifestations of God's mercy, that this man who lived a bad life, at the very end of his life, he turned to Jesus and begged for mercy, and Jesus opened up the gates of heaven. Here's a tricky question for you. Who's the first canonized saint? The good thief, right? He's the first canonized saint because Jesus said, today you'll be with me in heaven. Almost as if Jesus has a sense of humor. He chose he who seemed to be the worst to become the first to get into heaven. The last will be first, the first will be last, right? So there's hope for all of us. And I'm not a curandero. I'm not a curandero. I'm not a witch doctor. But I know what all of you are suffering most with right now. Almost all of you. Is that your children, your teenagers, or your adult children are not where they should be, right? Hello? Almost all of you are suffering because your children were baptized, they made their first communion, their confirmation. Now they're in their 20s or 30s and they no longer go to church. And you're suffering because of that, right? At least half of you are here. At least half of you are here. You're suffering because you want them to experience this joy, but they're not ready to receive this joy yet. And that causes a lot of consternation and suffering within. Me too. I suffer more than you people because, hey, this church should be packed to the gills. And look, there's a lot of space. That causes me desolation. This church should go beyond Joel Osteen, you know? You know who he is? The guy? He get 80,000 people, they give a 20-minute sermon, no? This church should be packed to the gills. There's a lot of empty spaces. So that causes me suffering because 80% of our people are not here on Easter Sunday. And that causes me to suffer more than you. Because their salvation is in jeopardy. Their salvation is in jeopardy. To the second person would be, who were the three faithful friends of Jesus at the foot of the cross? Sounds like you're mumbling. Okay. Frijoles and the boca, as they say in Spanish, huh? It was the Blessed Mother, Stabat Mater. She stood at the foot of the cross. Then it was St. John. And then it was Mary Magdalene. And Fulton Sheen says that the three of them symbolize three different lifestyles. Mary symbolizes innocence. She is the Immaculate One. John symbolizes the priesthood, because he was standing at the foot of the cross offering Jesus to the Father. Isn't that what the priest does? He offers the sacrifice, what I'm doing right now. Magdalene represents penitence. And there's another triumph of God's mercy. You look at Mary Magdalene, you see the victory of God's mercy. This woman lived a very promiscuous life. We all know that. Mary Magdalene had seven devils within her. Did you hear me? Maybe you're shocked to hear that that's in the Bible. She had seven devils within her. Not one. And then after she meets Christ, because up to that point, men have been treating her like an object. And she's allowed herself to be treated like an object. Talking in modern vocabulary. Okay? She was an object, probably a very beautiful woman, but seductive, and she allowed herself to be used by men. And finally, she met a man who truly loved her. Not for her physical appearance, but because of the depths of her whole being, created in the image and likeness of Christ. And that was Jesus Christ. And he transformed her. Once he transformed her, she never turned back. Remember the charismatic song of the 70s? I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. I like that song. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. She did not turn back. And after the Blessed Virgin Mary, in the Gospel, she's the woman that's most faithful to Jesus in the whole Gospel. After the Blessed Virgin Mary, a reformed prostitute. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? There's no person, no woman more faithful to Jesus after the Blessed Mother. And you saw the film of Mel Gibson. She's walking with Mary on Calvary. She's underneath the cross there. She's the first one to run to the tomb. I mean, Mary Magdalene, what a radical transformation. So if you've had a bad life, you can be a great saint. Amen? And that's the message of divine mercy. The worst sinners can be the greatest saints. If we live out those few words, Jesus, I trust in you. Do you know what the worst sin is? Is the lack of trust in Jesus' mercy. That's the Diary of St. Faustina. That's the worst sin. The worst sin is not trusting that God's mercy can triumph over our misery. And if you know language well, you know Spanish and Italian, misericordia. Some of you are bilingual, right? Misericordia, misericordia. What is cordia? Heart. What is miseria? Misery. Our misery encounters the loving heart of Christ. That's the word misericordia. That's what it means. That's what it means. So Mary Magdalene is a beautiful example of God's infinite mercy. And the third, you heard the second reading today. Did any of you pay attention to the second reading? Or you're kind of a little bit drowsy? It was the letter of St. Peter. The first two encyclicals, St. Peter, right? Look at St. Peter. I think all of us here love St. Peter, right? And we can all identify with St. Peter, because St. Peter, you people have a good heart. But face it, I am weak and so are you, right? None of us are Rambo or Hercules in our spiritual life. We're all weak. We're all very weak. And I think the more you grow in your spiritual life, the more you recognize how weak you really are. The more that you grow. Look at St. Peter. What did Jesus say at the Last Supper? That the shepherd will be struck, right? And the sheep will be scattered. And he says, what? All of you will abandon me. What does Peter say? But I'm Big Pete. He's probably flexing his muscles. He's probably showing his tattoo. It probably says, I love grandma. Probably, right? Yo amo mi abuelita. No? Okay. Peter was strong, but he was presumptuous. He was presuming more on his own strength than on the strength that comes from our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And Jesus says, hey Peter, before the cock crows, what does he say? You will? Did it happen? He denied him three times. He saw Jesus walking on water. He saw Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. He saw Jesus casting out 1,000 demons from Legion, right? And he saw these incredible miracles. You think that of all, he'd be faithful, but he fell. He fell. And he suffered so much that he fell. But he turned to God's infinite mercy. Fulton Sheen, when do you think his conversion starts, according to Fulton Sheen? When Jesus came out of the courtyard and Jesus looked right into his eyes. That was my talk yesterday in the Divine Mercy Retreat. He looked right into the eyes of Jesus. What did he see? He saw that Jesus was hurt, but that Jesus loved him and he trusted him. Peter saw that. And he broke down and he wept so much that at the end of his life he had furrows, he had holes beneath his cheek because he wept so much for having denied Jesus Christ. So Peter was converted and became one of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church, but he failed a dismal failure shortly after he was ordained a priest, which is scary for me as a priest. He was just ordained. Right? There at the Last Supper, Jesus institutes the Eucharist and the priesthood. He's going to be the first bishop and pope in the church. He fails. Do any of you know the whole development of the conversion of St. Peter? There's three steps. The eyes of Jesus, and then John 21, the big catch of fish, and then Jesus walks on the shore with Peter and says, do you love me? How many times? Because he denied him three times. So the conversion of Peter, there's three steps. The eyes of Jesus, the triple affirmation of love, but the most important was the 9-day Ignatian retreat that he made. Okay? The 9-day, not Ignatian retreat, the 9-day charismatic retreat that he made in the cenacle, the upper room. What happened there? Peter was with Mary. She was with Mary. And he prayed, he fasted, and silent prayer. And after 9 days, there was an earthquake, there was fire and wind, which descended upon the head of Peter, the fire, and he was transformed. And he was no longer the same person. He was no longer Simon, but he was St. Peter. Amen? Simon is pre-Pentecost. Peter, post-Pentecost. Simon, the flesh. Peter, the spirit. Now, if you are paying attention, before becoming a Catholic priest, I got a degree in English literature. So I like language. I like poetry. I like prose. I like writing. I've written 4 books already. Okay, so I like language, no? And I know language pretty well. Were you listening to the reading of St. Peter? He's more eloquent than Isaiah. Read it again. Do any people here like language? I mean, I love language. How eloquent St. Peter is. Just read through the reading. I'll throw out three other things that he's going to say in the other readings. And as the morning star rises in your hearts. Wow. It's more eloquent than Shakespeare. Being led by cleverly concocted myths. I mean, this is the rough fisherman. Do not cast yourself into a swamp of profligacy. I mean, probably you don't even know what that means, no? This is that rough and tough fisherman. Where did that eloquence come from? Did he get a degree at Harvard and Princeton and Yale? He didn't even graduate from Hawaiian Gardens, Melbourne. Okay. Where did he get so much eloquence? He got it from the Holy Spirit. So, my friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. I've left the best for last. Are you ready? Today, Jesus promised to St. Faustina, this is one of the promises, that you people, if you made your confession during Lent, or this week, you made your confession, you made a good confession during Lent, those 40 days, or this week, if you've done that, and you're not in mortal sin, then when you receive Holy Communion in this Mass, your soul becomes white as the snow. It's like receiving a second baptism. It's like being born again. If we're to die, we go right to heaven without spending a second in purgatory. For that reason, my friends, this should be the happiest day in your life. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And happy Easter to all of you.